This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Amen. Well, hey, listen, we've been kind of on a journey. I want to talk to you a little bit about just where God's laid on my heart. We've kind of walked through a long series we did, and then kind of took a week off last week. I had a guest speaker, but I just wanted to share with you something that I really feel like the Lord's leading us as we are. We're still in 2024. It's not over yet, right? But we're almost halfway through, and where are we going? What are the directions that God maybe is speaking to me to speak to you and encourage you with as we move forward? And I just believe that God has a direction for each and every one of you, has a place he wants to take us as a church, and what do we want to do? Where do we want to be over the years to come? And you know what? And it's not about where we've gone. I mean, those are all great, but we got to be looking forward. Where does God want us to go? And absolutely, God's a God of movement. He wants to take you places. He has great plans, as we sang about today. He has wonderful plans for you. A few weeks ago, we talked about a sermon. We just simply said, you know, we pray first. And that's really going to be our mantra. We're going to pray first. We want prayer to be our first reaction, not our last resort. You know, when we go through things, it's not like, well, I'm going to see if I can work everything out, and then when it doesn't work out, I'll pray. How about we pray first and allow God to put things into motion for us? And so I just believe that as we do that, God wants to take us to new places. And that new direction, the directions that God wants to take us to, is this word called vision. And vision can be kind of an abstract concept for many of us because it's not a word that we really use a whole lot in our vocabulary. I mean, you probably can think about when's the last time I used the word vision. We just don't talk about it very much. But listen to me this morning. Vision is important. It's so important that you have vision for your life. I think vision is as important to you as my glasses are to me. Like, you know what I mean? How many of you wear glasses? I mean, anybody here wear glasses? You know what I'm talking about, right? And then if you know how important your glasses are to you, if you wear glasses. If you have to wear glasses and you don't have your glasses, you can appreciate vision, right? I'm the guy, I don't know if you've been here before, like you plant glasses all over your house so that when you don't have them and you're like, I'm lost, I don't know what I'm going to do, I need my glasses. And so I appreciate my glasses. But my glass story is maybe a little different than your glasses story because like some of you, your parents took you to get an eye exam maybe when you were younger and then they determined maybe that you needed glasses. My parents didn't do that. They didn't love me enough to do that to me. So they didn't care. No, they did. I don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know. But in fact, my glasses are a little different because my glasses are just what you call readers. Like, I can see perfectly without my glasses. I have really good vision, unless you put writing in front of me, or a computer in front of me, or an iPhone in front of me. Then I can't see a thing. And I didn't meet glasses until I was in my mid-40s. And not because I didn't need them earlier. I probably needed them earlier. I just refused to admit that I needed them earlier. I didn't want them earlier. My whole married life, I've watched my wife put in her contacts, take out her contacts. I even tried them on once. It was the most painful thing ever. I've watched her do that. I've watched her have to scramble to make sure she has her glasses so that she can watch the TV. And my mentality was like, that wasn't going to happen to me. No way. But I got to the place where I couldn't see my phone. I couldn't read a menu at a restaurant. My wife says, you need to get your eyes checked. And I was like, no, I don't. I don't need that. And she's like, yes, you do. And so I went and got my eyes checked. Wow. Like, that's all I can say. If you've ever needed glasses and you've gotten glasses, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, they sit you down, you try them on, you're like, it blows your mind, right? Like, I can actually see. This is amazing. I remember walking out of Lens Crafters in the mall, right, with my new glasses on and looking at my phone. It was literally like a whole new world, right? You know what I'm saying? It was a whole new world. I couldn't believe it. And so it's like getting saved all over again, right? It was just amazing. But the crazy part is this. Had I not known I needed them, or had I not made the effort to go get them, I would have been just fine going through life the way that I was always going through life. Can I tell you something? Here's why vision is important. Vision keeps you from settling. Vision keeps you from settling. I didn't even realize that I was looking at my phone with it all the way to the nose. I didn't realize that when I was seeing things, I was squinting my eyes until someone said to me, I would have been just fine until someone pointed out to me, hey, you're squinting your eyes. You're putting the phone to your nose. And I just want to be that person in your life here today on Mother's Day, right? You don't have to settle. There's more for you. God's got more. You don't have to settle for a passionless marriage, a loveless marriage. There's more. Man, you don't have to settle for just religion. There is so much more. You don't have to settle for sickness. There's healing for you. Like, you don't have to settle for poverty. There are blessings for your life. You don't have to settle for anxiety and depression. You don't have to just be happy with the status quo. There is more for your life. And I'm just casting some vision over your life today, but here's the reality. Can you see it? Can you see what it is that you need? Can you see what you were meant to be? The other thing I know about vision is this. Vision gives you direction. Gives you direction. I am so grateful that vision to see combined with the provision gives direction. There's a sign in front of you. God's laid it out. There's a path that's been laid before you that he wants you to take, that he where he wants you to go. And I'm just so grateful that we have this thing called the Bible, because this Bible is our provision for the vision. It gives it to you. God gives you a dream. He gives you some kind of passion. And then he tells you how to get there, where you need to go. I'm just grateful for vision. I'm grateful for vision because vision creates unity and community. Vision creates unity and community. That's what church is. It's coming together under one vision. It's you and I working together, operating together for the same goals, at the same speed, heading somewhere together. Can I give you the reality simply this morning? You are never going to get to the place God has for you in your life by yourself. Just can't do it. We're not created that way. You're going to need somebody, because how many know people see things differently? Some people have fresh eyes for your life. And it's great when we all see the same things, right, from a different angle. That's what makes us a community. That's what brings us together. We can encourage each other. I've learned from my wife, it took me years. I still can't get this concept. We were talking about it even last night, but I've learned from my life what's taken me years to understand. That some people are what's called farsighted, which means they can't see close. Am I right? Okay. And some people are nearsighted, which means they can't see far. Here's the moral of the story. We need each other. Like, we need each other. Look at how good God is when he put us together. He put us together so that others can see things that others can't see. And so you need others in your life to see it differently than you do. So together, we come together as a church, we have vision, and yet we see the full picture together. I love how vision can change the world. Vision can change the world. I think of like Steve Jobs, Apple, had one vision. It has changed the world. Like Walt Disney, this guy had a vision for this parks, and Disney's changed the world. How about the guy who invented toilet paper? It changed the world. How about the saucy guy? Have you ever heard of the saucy guy? Listen, it's changed my life. I saw it on Shark Tank. This guy invented this little thing that plugs into the air conditioners in your car where you can put your Chick-fil-A sauce in. And you could ride down the road and dip your chicken nugget. It changed my life. The saucy guy, you got to get one of these. I saw this. I said, honey, she bought it for me, put it in my stocking for Christmas. It has changed my life. I can ride down the road and eat my chicken nuggets, dipping it in my little saucy thing. Listen, it just takes someone. We just need someone to say, hey, there's got to be a better way. Got to be a better way. It takes someone to see something that has not yet as if it were. And I want to say this to you, if vision can't change the world, let me promise you this, vision can at least change your life and your world. So I want to cast some vision for you this morning. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking here, and he tells this little familiar parable, and I want to share it with you, starting at verse 24 in Matthew's gospel, and it says this: "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, I want to stop there for a moment. I'm going to pause for a minute because, listen, listening, it's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to do the word. Too many Christians listen to the word. Not as many are doing the word. Listening is not what makes a difference in your life. You know what it is? It's the application that makes transformation happen in your life. So he goes on and he says, "And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." I want to pause here again. I want you to notice something that caught me as I read this. I don't think I ever caught before. But notice it says there, "and when the rain fell," or some versions say, "when the rain fell." Let me tell you something. It's not a matter of if the rain falls. Jesus didn't write there, "well, if the rain falls, if the wind blows, if the flood comes." He didn't say that. He says, "when." It's not a matter of if the rain's going to happen in your life. It's not a matter of if the storms are going to happen in your life. It's a matter of when. It will rain. And when it does, will you be prepared? He goes on and writes this. It says, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Great was the fall of it. Listen, I wrote this down today. I wanted you to get this. We are followers of Christ. The mantra for us should be simply this: we are built different. We're just built different. I want to talk to you today about the idea of being built, but not broken. To understand this passage, you have to understand ancient modern construction techniques, because, which, by the way, Jesus knew something about, because we know that he was a carpenter. And sometimes in our 2024 mindset, when we think of carpenters, our minds go to a different place. Like, we sometimes think about, when we hear the word carpenter, we think of someone maybe who hangs a door or puts in a light fixture, or that term handyman, right? Well, in biblical times, that was not a carpenter. In biblical times, a more accurate word for a carpenter would be contractor. He was a contractor. So literally, Jesus built houses. And that's why when he speaks about this foundation, he's not just preaching or telling some story he heard. He's actually sharing from his own experience. So he's talking to us about building. And so today, when you and I, we want to build a house, I mean, typically the first thing you want to do is you want to lay the foundation. You can't just build it. You got to lay this foundation down. And today we would bring in some big truck and they would pour out this concrete slab and basically do all the work for us. But in biblical times, they couldn't just create the concrete. They had to find the foundation. So this morning I'll give you an example. There's this, I have this diagram of, it'll be on the screen here in a moment, but this diagram of soil, right? This is what soil kind of looks like. So we have these different levels of soil in our world today. Like, so we have this first layer where it's like just loose dirt. It's where the grass is, you know, so grass grows, all those kind of fun things. Then you have like a little deeper level. It goes to the next level where the roots kind of grow down and grow deep and, you know, a little more firmer. Then you get to another level and it gets a little more rocky, more a little firm. And then you get all the way down to this bottom level where there's rock. And that's what Jesus is describing for us. This is where you have to build your house on. Like, if you're going to build a house on these top layers, when the rains come and the floods come and the wind comes, it's just going to wash away, and the house is going to fall. But when you build it on the rock layer, no matter what happens, no matter what rain comes, no matter what floods come, it's going to stay there. The house is going to be firm. It's going to make it. But here's the problem. How many know by this picture, the rock is not on the surface? The rock is not, it's not on the surface level. The rock is deep. And so let me just give you a little factoid here. Maybe unlike the United States, but in the Middle East where Jesus came from, the foundation is actually, the rock is not just on the top. In fact, most of the Middle East, to actually get to the bottom of this rock layer, many times you have to go 30 feet deep just to get to the foundation of the rock level. So if you build a house, you're going to have to be willing to dig 30 feet down into the ground to get the foundation. Here's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Here's what Jesus was trying to say in this scripture. That he's simply saying to us that the word of God, The Bible is what he wants you to build your foundation on. You got to dig deep. You got to go after it. The Bible is what he wants you to build your life on. And at Christian Life Center, we're going to build our lives on the Bible. It is our foundation. The Bible is what he wants you and I to build everything that we do on, is this thing called the Bible. But the reason why so many people fall is because they only have a surface relationship with it. Well, I know a good couple verses that I was taught when I was young. I need a good saying for my life, and so I'll just pull that out and see if it applies. But when the wind comes and the rains come and the winds blow and all these things happen, our mindset goes, well, my Bible didn't work. Or our mindset goes, well, God failed in all of his promises. And God looks at you and says, no, that's not what happened. What happened is you didn't build your house on the rock. You didn't build your house on the rock. You built your house on the sand. Which actually is really quite interesting about sand is that all sand was at one point was rock. It was just rock at one point. The sand became sand because the wind came, the rain came, the waves came, and over tens and thousands of years, and it began a process called erosion that turned the rock into sand. Let me just draw this application for you this morning. We cannot afford to live our lives with a watered-down version of the Bible. You just can't. And you ask yourself, well, what does watered-down version mean? Well, it means this. We build our faith on things that are fast. We build our faith on things that are easy, things that require less commitment from us. We build our lives on watered-down gospel says, well, I'm going to fit this into my lifestyle. Watered-down gospel says, well, I need something that's less demanding or something that just simply sounds good. And what I'm encouraging you today is this. We aren't looking for fast. We are looking for foundation. You're looking for foundation. What Jesus is saying is if you really want to last, you're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to be willing to go deep. We've been talking about this from the start of this year, but with all the confusion in our world today, all the fearful times we're facing, all the decisions that are being made, need to be made, all the crises that we face in life, we have to be people who dig into the Bible. Because the reality is, it is and always will be about the Bible. What does the Bible say? I thought this phrase, I said, I want to encourage us the rest of these next 6 months to challenge you to dig into the Bible. Dig into the Bible. So let's just talk about that for just a moment. I thought of these three words, you, dig, and the Bible. And the first one I want to talk about is you. I brought this from home today. It's a cookbook. Lee, the Pioneer Woman cookbook. Come on, y'all. Come on, bring it up. Right? And we watch her all the time. We're like, man, I want to make that. That's easy. Like, make it look easy. And I enjoy cooking, but I love a cookbook because, man, I can open these pages, and the cookbook will let me try something adventurous. The cookbook will let me try something new. I like being adventurous. I like surprising my family. Like, look what I made, you know. But it tells me everything, how many cups to put in, how many teaspoons to put in. I mean, it's all there, put in there. And I'm just so grateful that in my home I have this book that puts me into a position where I can feed myself and I can feed my family. Come on. I need you to believe this, that when you dig into the Bible, you need to dig into it because you need to feed yourself and your family. And you can't depend on me to come every week and be your only source of food. You can't jump on some podcast or some relationship to prepare your meals for you. You've got this cookbook at your home. Come on. And you know what? You can open this cookbook at any time, and through that cookbook, you can feed yourself on Monday. It gives you what you could feed yourself on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, listen, you've got an issue in your relationship. Guess what? There's a recipe for that. You got an issue with your finances. There's a recipe for that. You got other issues you're facing in your life. There is a recipe for that. God left you a cookbook, and it's called the Bible. It has everything that you possibly could need. You dig. Listen, it's not easy. That word dig, it's not easy to dig. Have you ever, if you were like me as a kid, you ever go out in the field and dig a hole, right? You're digging, and you ever hit something, you're like, oh, it's a treasure. I did it all the time. Like, every time I hit a rock or something, there's gold. I found it, you know? Someone left it. There was never anything. And so it's just the way it is. But you go out and you dig, and the Bible actually talks about this. Look what Jesus writes in Matthew. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And in his joy, he went out, he sells everything, and he bought the field. It's illustrating to us that, listen, this treasure he found, it actually changed his life. Listen, it's work, but I believe this, when you uncover the Bible, it's finding a treasure. It's finding a treasure that brings joy to your life, something you don't want to ever let go or fall away from. It is truly a treasure in your life. It's a treasure that opens your mind. It's a treasure that lifts up your spirit. And so we dig into the Bible. You dig into the Bible. And let me just say this to you. We don't dig into popular culture. We dig into the Bible. We don't dig into YouTube and social media theology. We dig into the Bible. And I just want to say this to you. I want to make this declaration. I want to make this over our church as your pastor. As long as I'm your pastor, I want to say this again to you. We are committed to preach the Bible. We are committed to teach the Bible. Your teenagers that come on Wednesday night, the Bible. Those kids back in these rooms, in these kids area, the Bible. Legacy people that come on Thursday night, the Bible. Every ministry we do here, the Bible. We know that the Bible is the most controversial, most confrontational, most offensive book ever written. You know why? Because the Bible doesn't ask for votes to determine what it is. The Bible, I wrote it down this way, the Bible isn't trying to fit into the world. It's trying to change the world. It's just, if it was trying to fit into the world, then the world would be just left the way that it is. But there isn't a person in this room today, I don't think, there's not a person in this room that wouldn't agree with this statement. And the statement is simply this: the world needs to change. I don't think there's anyone here that would disagree with that. The world needs to change. So if the world needs to change, then what the world is doing is not working. The Bible has a way, and I know it's confrontive. Jesus actually preached the Bible, and it says that after he had preached, hundreds of people left. They left him. And he looked at his disciples and he's like, you all want to go too? Kind of paraphrasing here. But you all want to go too? And he said, and they said to him, we can't go. And he said, why not? And their response was amazing. They looked at Jesus and said, because you have the words of life. You have the words of life. Which is really the great irony of the Bible, if you really think about it. Because on one hand, the Bible has pushed people away. But on the other hand, it has drawn people in. Because it's not just the most confrontational, most offensive book that ever written. It's also the most life-changing, most encouraging, most life-giving, most transformational, most uplifting book that there ever is. Listen, it didn't make the New York bestseller. It's on the all-time bestseller. It has sold more copies of any book that's ever been sold and throughout the history of the world. It is the Bible. And so why are we built different? Why built different? Because so many people in our life, in the world today, are just unhappy. They're unfulfilled because they have been building one way. But we, you and I, as followers of Christ, we build a whole nother way. We build differently. And so I want to give you this. Here's where we're moving forward, next 6 months. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Listen, this is your season. They'll be on the screen. But this is the season where, number one, we learn how to read the Bible. You learn how to read the Bible. We're going to be teaching that. We're going to be talking about it. This is the season moving forward where we enjoy reading the Bible. This is the season moving forward where we understand, we work to understand the Bible. Because once you read the Bible, once you enjoy the Bible, and once you understand the Bible, guess what happens? You start to believe the Bible. And once you start to believe the Bible, guess what happens? You start doing the Bible. It's amazing. It ceases to become just a good book. It ceases to become something you just keep in your house. It ceases to become a great history book. And you know what it becomes? It becomes a playbook for your life. It becomes something that you apply to your life. And so real quickly this morning, I want to give you three statements over your life that I want to give you. You could say it's prophetic, but I want to say if the shoe fits or if it finds a place in your world, then I hope you take it home with you. But as the pastor today, moving forward, talking about vision, I want to give you three statements over your life this morning. And here's the first one. From this moment on, you will survive the storm. From this moment on, you build the foundation, you will survive the storm because you're building that foundation. Remember Matthew 7:25, again, Jesus says, when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. Now, I grew up in Florida, so I totally get this analogy. I'm familiar with storms. I'm familiar with hurricane winds. We loved it. It was great. Got out of school. So it was awesome. And so we grew up with all this. But hear me, it's the wind, the rain, and the flood together. Jesus is literally alluding to a bigger emotional context. So for example, I can deal with just the rain. I just get an umbrella. I find a shelter. I can deal with just a flood. My neighbor's got a boat. We'll hang out. I can deal with the wind. I just shut the doors and shut the windows. But hear me, what Jesus is talking about is when the wind came and the rains came and the flood came all together. I can't handle all three. It overwhelms me. And Jesus is painting a picture of this emotional exhaustion that we go through and why we need this foundation. Let me be a little more real with you. I can handle my kids going through it, but when my marriage is a mess, or my health is bad, or my finances are a mess, when all those things come at me at once, have you ever been there before? Where it's just coming at you at once. When it's not just one thing, but it's two things, or it's three things, how do you survive those moments? And Jesus is saying it's easy. It's having a foundation. It's having a foundation that you've built your life on. A few years ago, I was going on a ministry trip. Kim and I were going on a ministry trip, and I rented a car to go on this ministry trip. And I was at the counter getting my car checked out, and the guy at the counter says, do you want the insurance? And I said what I always say, no, I don't want the insurance. And he's like, well, listen, this weekend, you know, this weekend special thing, we're running a weekend special. You can get insurance, full coverage, $5 a day is all we're going to charge you for that. And for some reason, I said, okay, I'll pay for it. I kid you not, literally, I'm driving home from the rental place to go pick up Kim so we can leave, and I took a curve too fast. Literally, this car, lost control of the car, started spinning, went into this field, bumped all over the place. I went from the driver's seat to the passenger seat. I'm laying there, the whole undercarriage, everything's ripped up on this car. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I gather myself. I call my wife. I'm like, look, this is what happened. I said, first of all, I'm okay. Second of all, don't worry. We got the insurance. It's all good in the neighborhood. I remember turning, going back to that guy with that car. He was there, smiling on his face, like, there you go. It was the best feeling ever. I just walked away. You know why? Because I had the insurance. I bought the insurance. It was awesome. It helped me out. Here's the crazy thing. The insurance, how many know, is just words on paper. The insurance is just words on paper. But how many know this? It's words on paper that have power. That's insurance. They have the power to repair what's broken. It's got the power to get you to your destination. It might be just words on paper, but guess what? It holds authority. It might be just words on paper, but it has power. It can restore. It can repair. It can repay. It can rebuild. It's powerful. And when you understand the word of God, it's like the ultimate insurance in your life. Because there isn't a negative human emotion in this world that you will carry, that you will face, that does not end up with praise when your house is built on the foundation. Like, you could go through trials, right? You go through trials and you're just like, oh, how am I going to do it? You open up this word, you open this Bible, and you find James 1 that says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, right? I've got insurance. Praise the Lord for the issues that I'm going through, because it's building me, it's maturing me, and it's advancing me. You've got sin in your life, or maybe you made a bad choice and you begin to beat yourself up. How many know at the end of your sin can be praise? Because you can open this thing, this insurance book, and say, oh, it's here in writing in James 5. It says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. My sin ends with praise when it's met with prayer and confession. It's called insurance. And not only that, the scripture tells you that you can also pray to be healed. There's more insurance for your life. Maybe you lose somebody that you love with all your heart. You really love them. Well, you know what? There's insurance for that. There can be praise at the end of that. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We have hope that when Jesus comes, we're going to all be together again. Let's talk about insurance. The book is full of it. And so many Christians are stressed out because they don't know what their benefits are. We've forgotten what we subscribe to. We have forgotten what's been paid for us. So we don't live in the benefit that's been purchased for you on the cross. It's free insurance. Have you ever heard of that before? Free insurance. Not because you don't have it, but because you don't know what you have. And I want to tell you this morning on Mother's Day, I feel like it's my divine mandate for us, for you, moving forward. It's my divine mandate to tell you, to show you your benefits. I feel like it's my divine mandate to show you every promise that is yours. You have them. Too many of you are stressing out over things that you are covered for. You're just stressing out over. Listen, this morning, I don't know what you're going through, what you're facing, but listen, you turn the pages of the Bible and you realize you're covered. You walk through things, you just turn the pages and go, oh wait, there's a covering for that. I'm experiencing things. I'm walking through some difficult times. There's a covering for that. The pages are full of it. It's the ultimate insurance in your life. Let me say this, number two. I'll say this over your life. Moving forward, you will get free. Moving forward, you will get free. I love how John 8 writes it, right? Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When I was young, I was a young kid, I would go to stay at my grandma's and my great aunt's house. They lived together at their home in Fort Myers, Florida, and my brothers and I would go, and behind her home, she had this small, like, orange grove and grapefruit grove, and so when it was bedtime, we'd get ready for bed, they would say to us, every time we were there, they would drown in our heads, they would tell us that you can't get out of bed. They said, don't get out of bed, you don't get up in the middle of the night. They said, listen, if you get out of bed, you need to know this, that behind the house in that grove, there's a boogeyman. And if you get out, that boogeyman is going to get you. He comes out at night. He will snatch you up. He will take you. And so, man, that was drowned in my life. I was scared of the boogeyman. Now, the thing is, that got me when I was like 6, 7, 8, 9. But then when I was 14 or 15 years old, when I had to get up and go to the bathroom or get a drink of water in the middle of the night, even though I knew darn well there was no boogeyman, it was still there. And I would wake up and I had to have this conversation with myself, like, do I get out of bed? Do I not? But I have to. So I had to stand there and plan my route. How can I get to the bathroom the fastest and get back the fastest because of the boogeyman? And for me, it was literally like going there and getting back was literally like an Olympic event. How can I get back here as quick as I can? Here's the deal. What kept me in my bed all those years? What kept me in my bed all those years? The boogeyman? No. What kept me in my bed all those years was the lie. Was the lie. So many people think that they have an issue with a thing when really the issue is with a lie. Something that's been spoken over you. Something that you believe. Something that you haven't researched and found out. Listen, bondage is a lie. The fact that you are trapped to a certain things and feel there's no way out, that's a lie. Weakness, yes, weakness is real. Insecurity is a lie. Weakness, your weakness does not have to define you. That's a lie. And what this Bible does is it shows us what is true and what is a lie. If we can build our foundation on it, then we're going to be able to live in what's true and identify what is a lie. And when we begin to identify the lies of our lives, oh my gosh, watch, our church will be free. There's too many people held back by the lies that have been told over your life. Lastly, let me tell you this. You will be free. Lastly, I'll be this. Moving forward, I say this over you. You will build. You will build. What's the opposite of build? I know sometimes we think, well, the opposite of build must be destroy, right? I don't think that's the opposite of build. I think the opposite of build is actually manage. I think the opposite of build is actually, well, if I could just survive. I think the opposite of build is like status quo. Just keep everything the same. And this is, I believe, for our church, whether this is your church home or you're looking or whatever, I just believe that this is the time for CLC to build. It's the time to build because we have a foundation. The foundation is here. We just got to be willing to build. I brought this illustration with us today. This picture will be on the screen. And this is like some of the world's tallest skyscrapers in the whole world. Like, you know, you have the One Trade Center and it goes all the way down the line. But, you know, then you get all the way to this one that's in Dubai. Tallest skyscraper in the world, 2,723 feet high. That's amazing. But what really caught my attention of this picture, I don't know if you can see it, but really what caught my attention was not how high they went, but how deep their basements go. How deep their foundations go. Like these skyscrapers literally have to go, some of them, hundreds of feet deep. Deep, so that they can be able to go high. Each one had to go hundreds of feet into the ground before it could go thousands of feet into the air. I just believe this. The height of the build is determined by the depth of the foundation. We can't go any higher as a Christian, as an individual Christian, as a church, until we have a foundation that holds us through, that anchors us to the ground. God wants you to build. He wants you these next 6 months. I believe God wants you to build your character. Build doing things God's way. Build a godly family. Build a godly relationship. Build your worship. Build your wealth. God's way, of course. Build your influence. Because you start to do things God's way, you start to build. And when we do things God's way, we build better. We just build better. We build lasting. And so before you grow up, guess what? You got to grow down. You got to grow deep. You got to have a foundation, which is simply God's word. I close with this today. I brought this little illustration. Maybe you've seen these before. This little Jenga. This today represents your life. This whole build right here, this structure represents your life. And I just believe like this isn't the end all. Like there's no lid here. I believe you can go higher and higher and higher. Like you, God can just build you and everything else. Like you could just take off and keep going. I just believe that with all my heart. You have dreams, you have aspiration, God gives them to us, they're in our lives, and we want to get there. But here's what I know. If I want to knock this thing down, the best way to do it is to go for what? The foundation. If I want to knock it down, the easiest way to do it is just to go toward the foundation. And hear me, people, whatever you believe today, that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take your foundation out. Because just like Jesus said, if I could take the foundation out, then everything, it's just going to fall. It's not going to stand the wind. It's not going to stand the floods. It's not going to stand the rain. It'll just fall. And we have these moments. This is how life goes for us sometimes, whether you were raised in church or you're new to church. But we have moments all throughout life that challenge our faith. And that's why Jesus is talking about it. That's why he tells us when it rains and when it floods and when the wind comes. Because you're going to have challenges in your life. And at that point, you're going to bring into question, what do you believe? And for many of us, we've had bad teachings, we've had bad theology, we've had bad examples, and we've been taught certain things. Like maybe you've gone to church before and, you know, and you were taught like, let's say, for example, I don't know, if you follow God, nothing bad will ever happen in your life. Like maybe you've heard that before. And then when the bad things happen, you're like, well, that must not be true. God must not exist. And it shatters, it weakens your foundation. Maybe you've gone to class before, maybe you're raised, or you've watched some things on TV that begin to talk about the existence of God. Is God really real? Like maybe someone said to you before, like, you know, well, dinosaurs are real. And you're like, yeah, I believe that. I, I believe dinosaurs are real. I've seen them in a museum. So they must be real. But it starts to shake your foundation because they're like, well, dinosaurs really prove that there's not a God because, well, you can't find dinosaurs in the Bible. Like, there's no word, there's nothing that says dinosaurs in the Bible. So my foundation shake, I don't know, maybe God doesn't exist, maybe he's not real, which, by the way, I'd like to add a little addendum here. I believe this, science does nothing but prove God. Science does nothing but prove God. Because the other thing I would say is porcupines aren't in the Bible either, all right? So, but they're real, all right? But we get shattered because we wonder, does God really exist? Or maybe you got to that place where you were told as a kid, you know, that that God is just a God that's going to get you. Like, he's just always out to get us. Every mistake you made, everything you do, he just is out to destroy your life. And it shatters your foundation. Or maybe you're taught throughout your life, well, you know, sin. If I really love God, then I'll just never sin. And the reality is, I don't know about you, but I sin a lot. But yet we're taught, like, well, maybe if I sin, I never can seem to get it together, then I must not love God. And if I don't love God, then God surely doesn't love me. There's no way. And it wrecks and destroys. It puts us on a shaky foundation. Now, everybody needs to stop breathing because it's going to fall if you breathe any harder. Right? So don't clap, don't yell, just be quiet. But let me ask you this. As we're doing this, does anybody feel a little nervousness? Right? That's what it's like when you don't have a good foundation. You're overwhelmed with anxiety, stress, fear, because your foundation is weak. It's weak. And at any moment, we live life like this as Christians. At any moment, we walk out in this world thinking at any moment my life could come crashing down. Can I tell you, that's not how God's plan works for your life. But yet we walk like that all the time. Like, at any moment, my life's going to come crashing down. The storms are going to come. And because you don't have a foundation, wow, that's loud. Because we don't have a foundation, we so easily fall. It shouldn't be that easy. But because our foundation is weak, it doesn't take much rain, it doesn't take much storm, it doesn't take much wind for us to fall. And that's just not the life that God's destined for you. And let me add this to you as I close today. When that happens, when you fall, when your foundation is weak, can I tell you this? It wasn't God's fault. Because we like to go through life, well, my life's terrible, my stress is overwhelming, my life's in shambles. It's God's fault. He didn't show up for me. He didn't take care of me. And we blame him. It's not God's fault. It's the fact that you and I didn't build our lives on a foundation. A foundation that would withstand the storms, withstand the wind, withstand the rain. In fact, I just believe there's people probably even in this room right now who probably feel like this. Maybe feel like, oh, my life's a little shaky right now. My foundation's a little shaky. At any moment, I could tip one way or tip the other way. Maybe some of you are actually in that place right now where the life is just spread out all over the place. It's kind of in shambles. The good news is that it doesn't have to stay that way. God's amazing, taking your life and rebuilding it back together again. He can do that for you. This is not where you want to be. It's not where you need to be. And it's not where God wants you to be. So we're trying to do that at CLC. We're trying to build a foundation. And we all know that the foundation begins with the Word, begins with His Bible. I want to encourage you to take another leap in what it takes to dive into this. I think, listen, we've been doing it since January. We're halfway through. We're doing it January. We've been reading the Bible through a year. Many people have accepted the challenge. You've jumped on it. You're like, and I want to encourage you, if you're in that place, it's not too late. Jump in. In fact, we have right at the Welcome Center, we have these little sheets of paper that you can either do the app or you can grab these sheets of paper that tells you every day what you should be reading. Gives it to you right there in order. Read these certain scriptures every day. And your next thing you know, by December 31st, you've walked through the Bible. And I promise you, as you open these pages and you jump into this foundation, it is going to change your life. It'll change your life. It'll bring things out of you that you've never thought were there. The other thing is that every Wednesday night we get together with a group of people. We just in a circle right here while the kids' ministry is going on. We get here Wednesday night at 6:30 in a room right back here, and there's a group of us that come together. I'm kind of facilitating the class, and what we're doing is just talking about what we've been reading this last year. Just talking about what is God saying to you? What's pointing out to you? What are some things that are happening? It is amazing to see people come to life talking about the Bible. It's amazing. And it builds a foundation for your life. God wants to do that for you. He doesn't want you to have to live a life on shaky, but he wants us to build deep, deep down in. And then you know what? He's going to use you to do incredible things. He's going to use our church to do incredible things because we have this surety of this thing called the Bible. So Lord, I pray today as we come together as a church, just like we're talking about moms. Moms have a way of building foundation. Well, you know what? Your word has a way of building foundation. It has a way of giving us vision. It has a way of giving us clarity. It has a way of speaking to the most difficult things in our lives. And too many people are allowing their foundations to be rocked, to be shaken. Too many of us allowed little things to take us and derail us. We've allowed difficult circumstances. We've allowed difficult conversations. We've allowed difficult people to shake our foundation. So today, God, we erase that and we proclaim that this is a new day for each and every one of us as followers of Christ, because followers are built better. Followers build differently. Followers build on a foundation that goes deep. And Lord, the deeper we go, I believe the higher we'll go. So help us today, Father. I pray in this room, Lord, that foundation begins by falling in love with you. There are people in this room that would say, oh, I love God. But Lord, help us to have a deeper love than we've ever had before. That love just goes deep and deep. That trust goes deep and deep. That hope goes deep and deep. Allows us to soar to whole new levels with you. So let us be people in this room today that fall in love with you. In Jesus' name. Can we just worship him for a moment together? Let's make him our foundation in this moment.
So I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
I just want to pray this prayer over you today. If you're in the room today and you just say, listen, two thoughts. Maybe your life feels a little shambles right now. I want to pray for you. And maybe you're in this place and you're like, listen, I need to build a foundation. In other words, I don't have that foundation with God like I need to. I'm away from Him. I'm serving Him. I'm just there. I don't have that foundation. And yet I need that in my life. I know God wants that for me. And right there where you're sitting, where our heads bowed, because I just want the opportunity to pray for you. And, not to embarrass you, but if that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? I want to know who I'm praying for. Anyone else? Thank you. Come on, real quick. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. There's so many people. Just say, hey, listen, I want that foundation for my life. I pray that, Lord, as we gather here in this moment, Lord, may we make you our foundation. May we say, God, I don't know where to begin, but I know that I have your word and your Bible, and I can start reading, I can start serving, I can start worshiping, I can start praying. Lord, just see that foundation begin to take form in our faith. Pray for those in today who maybe your life feels a little shambly, a little wobbly, and the foundation is weak. Lord, you have the ability, when we put our trust in you, we put our hope in you, God, you have a way of shoring our foundation up. So I pray for the distractions of this world, fear, anxiety, confusion, even the relationships that come that want to distract. I pray, God, that Lord, you would guard us against those things, that we could just build our life upon you and see you do incredible things, both individually and both corporately as a church. So help us with that, we pray today. Now, Lord, I pray for every mom that represents in this room, Lord, and every would-be mom, every new mom, every mom who's maybe lost a child and has experienced that, whatever we find ourselves today, I pray that Lord, you would just be the glory and the lifter of our heads this morning. Fill us with gratitude. There's some in the room maybe had a difficult relationship with their moms. Lord, I pray that today would not be a hard time, but Lord, that they would feel the grace of God flooding them and your love overwhelming them. But Lord, anyway, we're thankful for godly parents that you give us. And so Lord, pray that this would be a wonderful day. Now, Lord, I pray that your blessings upon your people, may your face shine upon them. God, may you order their steps and direct their paths. And Lord, give us the commitment and the dedication, Lord, to build a life upon your word, the fact that you have great plans for each and every one of us. We love you today, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a praise cap today? Yeah, he's worthy. Thank you for it. All right. Thanks for joining us today. Grab a free gift. If you're any lady in the house, grab a gift. You don't even have to be a mom. Use our photo booth, read the instructions, and have a great Mother's Day.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.